easier for me than it used to be. I'm not totally I'm not totally godly, but I tell you what, I've come a ways, and I'm thankful for what God has done, allowed me to be a part of my life, the things that He's let me put into my life, included in my life, the ingredients that God has allowed me to take in my life to be able to be a person that loves the things of God. I love the things of God more than I ever have. You know, it like someone that sings a song that He gets sweeter as the day go by. And I feel like God can get sweeter, you know. And the things of God, you know, the things that His word, you know, just hearing His word. I know, you know, you can hear people just being, you know, one thing be religious, but I mean, really, when you hear God's word, when you hear that what God, you can feel His spirit in His word and hear it explained, like, and where it makes sense, you know, where it line up. When Bo Smith was talking about, you know, the conditions coming up on the world, the woes and the things, when it began to add up, you know, began to, so, you know, that makes sense. You know, this is, you know, if we keep going this way, we're going to end up in one of these woes. We're going to end up in a bad way. But, I mean, we're going through things, but while we're going through it, if we're beginning to begin to lean and trust in God while we're going through it, you know, we're not excused from all the problems, you know. Here we're in this world, and there's this epidemic about the flu and the swine flu, and, you know, it can grip you, you know. Fear can grip you, you know, but you don't have to let it grip you. You begin to lean on the Lord because, like I said, God, there's a lot of things have come up on this world. But and people that went through it, they went through it trusting God. And that's what we're going to have to do. That's why I want to learn how other people dealt with things that, tragedies and things that happened. They trusted God and began to put their lives in God's hand. And that's what we're learning to do. And I appreciate people that are being honest with me, you know, telling me, yeah, this is what you're going to have to do. You have to begin to line up with the Lord and find out, you know, what God says about these things. And I can be deceived. I know that in religion. I pity people sometimes. I was with my sisters yesterday. We had a good time together, but they're in religion. I mean, they're really in religion. I mean, and some of it is good. That's a part. If it wasn't good things going on in religion, then people wouldn't be deceived. But that's a part. You know, that's what it is. It's good things going on. People are being helped in a lot of ways. But that's, you know, God. You know, you think, well, why don't something happen? Well, I guess God has to have used people to be able to be a light, like, to others and really show love. Because sometimes you don't know how much somebody loves you until you go through something. You know, then it just take that sometimes for people to really see who really love them. You know, because they go through something, then they see, well, these people must not really love me. You know, they didn't care. They didn't stay with me. But it takes that, and I appreciate being in a place where we can learn to serve God, and that's what I'm doing. I'm learning to serve God, and I'm not, you know, I don't feel like I'm the only one going through things, but I know other people are going, and things that are happening are, you know, there's different things that's happening to different people, different situations, but it's to me, I'm seeing it causing us to get closer to the Lord and to be able to realize that I need to call upon Him. We have a need. I want to be able to do that. It's to realize that I need to call Him. I know He's there. He's there for us. And all we have to do is begin to realize that and begin to put those things to practice, the principles, to seek the Lord, you know, in a time of need. And we'll begin to live that way. You know, I want to be able to live to where, you know, these things in my life will just be a part of my life. You know, I don't want to just talk about it, you know, but I want to live that way. I want my life to be that way. You know, we can live a life, you know, of praise unto the Lord, to where everything is to God, you know, giving Him glory, lifting Him up all the way, you know, because that's like I said, we was doomed when we was born. You know, we was born, you know, in trouble. So why not? You know, if we begin to see that, well, this is the only way that I'm gonna get out of this alive. You know, is anybody gonna get out of this alive? Really, it's gonna have to be God. You have to be with in God's hands. You know, if I give my life over to God totally, then I won't have to worry about whatever may come by or whatever may happen, because he'll help me all the way. So I'm just so thankful today that God is helping us, and we're in a place to where we can get help, where help is available, and understanding God's way and his word better. I understand it better than I ever have, and it's not easy, but it's but I know it's possible. It's possible, and I can do it. I just have to kind of prod myself every now and then. I can do it. I can make it. I'm serving a God that can help me, that has the answers, and that can do anything. So I want to serve him. I want to be a part of what God is doing. I want to give my life to him. I want to keep that in mind. I want to realize to myself, you know, talk to myself. Say, you can do it with God's help. You know, we can do it. We can make it. So I'm just so thankful today that we're serving him, that we have this opportunity to work for him. So I'm just so thankful.
Praise
God.
I just wanted to say something. I'm kind of about this song. We've been talking about drawing closer to the Lord and in times of heartache and trials. And a lot of times you can hear testimonies about overcoming, but you don't always hear those steps of how they get there. And I think just kind of the idea of this song, and it's backed by scripture, by just small steps of faith, is the answer to get there. So just kind of listen to the words, and you see how mighty the Lord is in just small steps.
When you feel that everything will always be the same, and you start to believe that things will never change, and despair floods over you till you're almost swept away, that's when I heard the sweetest words I can hear him say. Look up and not around. Don't give up, my arms are around you. I know each tear that you cry, and he knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you just look up.
When you feel all hope is gone, and you are at your end, and you've tried everything, talk to family and friends, and you just can't go any farther, and you feel you're about to fall, just reach up to Jesus. I know he will hear your call.
Look up and not around you. Don't give up, His arms are around you. He knows each tear that you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you just look up.
When you start to look around you and everything looks wrong, and you feel your strength is failing, and you don't feel very strong, that's when you look to Jesus, and you don't look at men, because He's still the King of Kings. He owns everything. So look up and all around you. Don't give up. His arms are around you. He knows each tear that you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you just look up. Look up and all around you. Don't give up. His arms are around you. Are around you. He knows each tear that you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you just look up. When you start to look around you and everything looks wrong, and you feel your strength is failing, and you don't feel very strong, that's when you look to Jesus, and you don't look at men, because He's still the King of Kings, and He owns everything.
Look up and not around you. Don't give up. His arms are around you. That you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you just look up. Look up and not around you. Don't give up. His arms are around you. He knows each tear that you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you'll just look up. Look up and not around you. Don't give up. His arms are around you. He knows each tear that you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your if you'll just look up. Look up and not around you. Don't give up. His arms are around you. He knows each tear that you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you'll just look up. Are around you. He knows each tear that you cry, and He knows the reasons why. He'll fill your cup if you'll just look up. Cry.
of people and are looking to the Lord for direction. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I was telling someone this week, someone told me, said, well, if it's meant to be, it'll be. I said, no, that's not true. Not in all cases. I said, whatever's meant to be in your life, rest partly upon you. I said, you have to do your part. It takes faith. You have to respond. God may be working in your life. He's got a purpose for your life. He expects, you know, God's got a plan for you. He's got a purpose for you. But it won't just happen unless you respond to God. There's a part you play in this. even though our steps, remember, here's the qualifier of that verse, a good man. The steps of a good man. Not everybody's steps are ordered of God, but you have to stay in good standing with God. You have to have a good heart. You have to be responding to Him. I told him, I said, let me tell you here's how you follow God. Here's how you walk with God. Here's how you get God's direction. I said, you have to be humble enough to, I'm talking about after you're God's child. You receive Him into your life. But I said, then, though, you have to move forward prayerfully and cautiously. I said, you have to continue to move forward. God will bring things into your life, but you have to pray about them. And you have to be saying, God, I'm trusting you through all of this. I'm moving forward in this, Lord. If you feel all right, you have to look for flags to go up. You have to look for caution lights and red lights. God hinders something. Don't keep pushing when there's too much hindrance. but sometimes you even have to grow. Sometimes when you grow to a certain place in God, God will even give you great hindrances to test your strength, your faith. But He don't do that always in the beginning. God will just... He'll teach you how to follow Him, how to be led of the Lord. the Bible said, "Thy word is a path to my feet. It's a light to my path." And so God's showing us the way of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more. God, He gives us knowledge of the Word of God, and it begins to show us a way. Part of that comes through preaching. It's some of what we gain in the house of God, and ministers that have worked out the road for us. I'm so thankful for our forefathers that have been working the road and that have laid down landmarks, and the light has shined upon the pathway that leads to righteousness. And men have put up even traditions and customs in the body of Christ that are there to protect us. It's a wall that's built around the house of God. There's righteous principles that these traditions are built upon. Customs are built upon. Even our behavior that, you know, God's helping us. And our behavior, our way of operation, even in the house of God, it there's principles that men have found that plant certain things in our hearts, reverence even toward the house of God. Aren't you glad things have been planted in your heart, Brother Weaver? To come into the house of God. I'm glad I didn't come in here in a pair of overalls today. I've got more reverence for the house of God than that. I've been taught, put on the best you got. Get and look for better, you know. And, you know, I like to see some uniformity in the house of God. I'm glad that we don't just have anything going here, but there's some unity. There's things that, you can look at a man. You can look at the way he behaves himself and even the way he dresses. Same way with women. You can tell something about them. You can say, ooh, this man's, you know, this person is something upright about their presentation of just how they groom themselves, how they dress. And, you know, it makes you pay attention to them. It has an effect. A lot of these things, the way we've, you know, the customs of the body, the standards that we've had. I know I've came to a place to understand that as long as there's a law, you know, as long as there has to be commandments and laws in one's life, you're under the authority of a law, then you've got sin in your life. You've got things that needs corralled, the things that needs restraint. Do you know when you grow up in God to where there don't need to be a law? You're doing everything that any law could say, any principle of righteousness that could be put out. It's just in your nature to do it. God works that in us. You'll grow up to a place in Him like that. We start off, and as we come in here, we repent of our sins, and we start separating our life, holiness. We try to be holy, a called out people from the world. We shouldn't act like the world or look like the world. We ought to get the world out of our lives and separate ourselves under the work of God. You ought to want to look like God's people, act like them, talk like them, blend. Get in here and find somebody that's an example and get the pattern in your life after them, because it's a called out life from the ways of mankind in this world. And principles and traditions have been set up to help you do that. At first, God just imputes righteousness. He counts you righteous. Jesus died on the cross, and He became a lamb slain. He became a sacrifice so that your sins, just God would just wipe away all your sins. That don't make you righteous. He just counts you righteous just by forgiving all of that and letting it all go. But the very thing that caused you to commit all them sins is still in your nature. It's still working in you. And you can try to put it under a commandment and a law, and you should. Because you got to put some restraint on the flesh. If you don't, the world will fill your life up so full that there's no room for God to operate in your life. You got to get your mind girded up with the Word of God. You can't let all these things in the world. Things get in your mind and sticks there. What was that song that's in my mind this morning? What was it, Joel? What was I singing? What was the name of that band? Anyway, some ungodly rock and roll band. It's just a little old song stuck in my mind. I was in this morning. I just said it. You know, I just sung it out. Joel, he kind of looked at me funny and cocked his head like a little old doggy. You know, like, what is this noise I'm hearing? And finally, I told him. I said, that's a rock and roll band song I heard years ago. You know, like, how many of you remember Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band? You know, I remember that song. They sang, you know. And those things stick in your mind. It gets in your mind. And if you're not careful, your mind will be so full of just the ways of life. Brother Talley quoted that scripture in Romans where it said that the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who subjected the same also in hope. God subjected you and I to the vanity of the fallen condition of this world. When God put all of this nature in operation and it began to function and operate, you and I are a product of God's creation. And God knew that man, the corruption of man, would be in this world. And God put that in it. Here I came. Lehman and Bonnie Smith. You know, here I came. They probably didn't even pray about having me. They just one day put their hands together and here I came. They decided to create. Be like God. That's what God said man would become like. And so here I am. I didn't ask to be here. I don't even think they prayed. I don't even know if anybody prayed about me coming around. Here I came, plop. Somebody said, whambo, there's another boy. Here I am. And I didn't ask for all of this, Brother McGowan. But here I am. So I come up in this world, subject to all this vanity of ungodliness and all that goes on in this world had an effect on my life. Thank God, He may have subjected me to that, but He subjected me also by reason of hope. See, there was a seed of the woman that was prophesied over even in the fall of man, that there would be a seed that would crush the head of the serpent before this was over with. That there's a hope. God's always extended hope to mankind. Thank God for the hope today. There was a cup. I was drinking out of a cup in Wichita. They gave me a cup of coffee to come fix my breakfast while I was there. And they gave me a little old cup. And I read on the side of it, it said, faith is the blossom that comes from hope. I read that and I said, that's a lie. Who wrote this on this cup? I said, that ain't right. I said, it's opposite of that. Hope is the blossom that comes from faith. I said, you got to have faith before you'll ever have hope. I said, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God when that quickens your life. I said, you begin to learn about God, that develops a hope in you for salvation, to be saved, and that righteousness of God will work in your life. I said, y'all take this cup and fix this. Write this, change this around. This ain't right. Don't have something like this in the house of God. Well, you know, I knew I was leaving the next day, so they couldn't say much. They couldn't do too much. Couldn't do too much to me while I was just there one day. Hit and run, preacher. I'm just, you know, really, I have to tell you that the Wichita church is behind us and helps us and strengthens God's. Gave us a great friend in Brother Green and the Wichita people. They treat us so good when we go there. And I preached that morning. Ooh, a good message. You should have heard it. And then that night, Sister Smith got up and testified and sang a song and brought the house down. I didn't even have to preach that night hardly. Just said a few words. Right at the end of the service, and they gave us a good offering. They gave me a $1,000 offering. That's one of the little offerings I get when I go there sometimes. I never take it and put it in my bank account. I always put it in the mission account. I always just tell them, put it in the mission fund. I need it. We're already behind. And so I said, I've got places to go with that and two or three more just like it. This gospel, God, you know, if we get to a place where we see that God's got our lives, He's called us and separated us unto holiness. He's hallowed us out sanctified and set us apart for His work. After a little while, everything in our life will begin to look at it as it's the Lord's. And the things that He's blessed us with are just His blessings that He gives us to enjoy. Sometimes it's difficult for me, like Brother Elias and Brother Green are over in Delaware and Philadelphia right now, and they don't have nothing. You know, I mean, the only way they could even get there, somebody buy them a ticket and help them get there. And then Brother Joel's been working for Brother Michael and also working for us some in the kennel, so he's making a little money. And he's a good worker, good, faithful. Just you don't have to show him anything but once, and you don't have to tell him to do it but once. He'll just do it every day. He'll go back and do it again if it still needs done. I appreciate that. And but then his daddy called him and said, Joel, you need to take, said, you got any money? He said, well, I got paycheck coming. Said, well, call Brother Michael and tell him to buy your mama and your sister a ticket. My Lord, $700-$800 ticket to send them over to Delaware. Why? Because he knows Yolanda can help those people with songs of the body of Christ and sing to them and help bless with the Spirit, and he wants her over. Said, we need her over here. And Jennifer needs to come. There's a youth meeting going to be in New York, and she needs to come and be in on that. You know, my mind, the way I was raised up, I'm thinking to myself, I have to fight these thoughts sometimes. I'm thinking, dear God, if you're going to get $700 or $800 somewhere, you've got things at home needs to be done with that. You don't need to be spending it on people traveling. That ain't how they look at it. They look at it like, this is the work of God. We ain't never had nothing. We ain't never going to have nothing. Whatever we get, we're willing to give it for this work. And I have to look at that sometimes. I think, dear God, that's more righteous than the way I look at things. And, you know, so I don't try to correct that. I just see it that God will bless that. God will bless that. They're not doing that because of, you know, they wanting something for themselves, but they want something for the people of God and to give those people over there that God's put them in contact with. Well, I know that for the Lord to help us to understand, you know, He's imputed righteousness in us, but He's given us a pathway that if we'll get in it and walk by faith, that finally imputed righteousness will become His righteousness. Finally, it won't be imputed. In fact, there's a scripture, I think, see if I can get that in my mind, where maybe in let me look right quick in 1 Thessalonians and see if that's where I'm thinking. I wanted just to read it. I'm not going to talk here a long time today, but yes, it's in the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and starting in the 10th verse, it says, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. I wonder how many people could take that today in certain religious circles. I wonder how many Protestants could take it if their preacher or their somebody in their organization wrote them, said, we're going to come see you and perfect that that's lacking in you, in your faith. Now God Himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end, there's an end to this thing, He may establish your hearts unblameable That's what we're looking for, is finally to get to a place where we're unblameable in holiness before God. That we're set apart unto God, and you can't lay any blame. Right now, I just have to say, part of my righteousness is imputed. But I'm working on this, Sister Rochelle, until I'm unblameable. Hallelujah. There's no blame in my separation. I've been separated unto God so much that I'm unblameable. To the end of God's work is finished in me. And we're following God. Let me say again, how to be led of God. Move forward in your life prayerfully and cautiously, and look for God. Look for God to hinder. Pray. God, I think this might be you, Lord. I'm not sure, but hinder it if it's not you. I'm moving forward in faith. But if you throw up a roadblock, I know this is not you. I'm trusting you. I believe in you to protect me and to keep me from doing something wrong. So I'm praying always, looking for your will and you to direct my steps. It takes faith to move forward in God. And so what's going to be in God, God's purpose, it's not going to just happen in your life unless you walk by faith, prayerfully, cautiously, watching God to direct your steps and keep your heart in a good condition. Keep it clean. Keep it holy. Keep it separated. Don't let any condemnation be in there. Get it rid of that. And say, God, forgive me for every sin, even the unknown sins that I don't even know that's working in my life. And keep me clean, Lord, that every day you'd protect me. Nothing would hinder me from walking and taking steps that are ordered of you. I tell you, if you got a heart right, there's a promise in that. If your heart's right, God will order your steps. That's what God told me one time. Many of you young men feel like you've got a call to the ministry. God called me to the ministry. You know, I didn't know how to be in the ministry. God called me. I thought that was a great honor. I did. I thought, you know, hallelujah. I seen myself, you know, like, maybe bigger than Catherine Kuhlman or some of them guys, you know, the big white coat coming out in the big spotlight, thousands of people gathering just to hear me and let me lay my hand on them and heal them of every disease and every miracle, jump up and run off just because I was there. That's what I figured, Brother Daniel. I thought, if he called me, I'm going to do something great. I just kept waiting. I thought, one of these days, you know, whambo, big time preacher's going to hit the scene. I wasn't doing anything big to make it happen. I was just waiting on him. One day I got to praying in earnest. I got tired of waiting on God. Several years had went by since he called me to the ministry. And I was still in just a little old church, you know, singing. I was leading a song. Turn to page 137, you know, and let's all sing. Stand. Let's all stand and sing this song, dear God. But when am I going to get out of my big debut of life? One day I got in earnest about that. I got to praying. I was on South 37 Highway in San Antonio, Texas, and I got to I can't remember the name of that street exit, but I know right where it was. La Quinta Motor Lodge was just right down there. But I got to where them big barrels was in that exit. And I just pulled right in there off the interstate, off the freeway. And from the exit, I pulled right in facing them yellow barrels. And I got in earnest before God got to praying. I said, God, when are you going to send me out? I was crying and bawling. I was in earnest about it. Because I felt the burden of that on my life, but it didn't seem like it was going anywhere. And the Lord spoke to me right there. Boy, it wasn't what I was expecting to hear. He said, when are you going to just start doing what you know to do? When are you going to serve me every day? When are you just going to begin to put one foot right in front of the other and then walk uprightly before me? Whew. See, I wasn't in too great an earnest because I was waiting on the big day to come. Then I was going to get serious about it. And he said, then, if I, he put an if there, if I've called you to minister to my people, you'll just find yourself before them doing my will. That's all he said to me. But it hit me, Brother McGowan. I said, oh God, forgive me. I knew right then all I need to do is get busy serving God every day of my life the best I knew how and let him take care of the rest of it. Live, be a good man. Walk uprightly and serve me. And whatever I've called you to do, you'll find yourself doing it. I never again tried to figure out how I was going to be in the ministry. I just started walking before God and serving him and trying to live for him. I said, God, if I'll just lead song singing right here on 105 South Sadie Street in Full Gospel Church, you know, till Jesus comes, that's what you evidently called me to do. And all that ministry stuff was in my head. But if that's what you want, but I'm going to serve you and do the best I know how to do it that. And I'm going to tell you, when I started doing that, things started happening in my life. Things started changing. Things just started happening. God started directing my steps and things just started happening. Well, I ain't stepping out in no big, and I ain't never going to do that neither. So just, I got that all out of my head. Whatever God wants me to do, I'll just find myself doing. And that's good enough. That's all I need to do. And but oh, if we'll let him direct our steps, there's so many needs. There's so many things that need ministered to. I was thinking today, I was watching these young people, the youngsters in this church. I thought, God, there's so many needs right here. There's things in these children's minds that you're going to have to help them, God. The people of God's going to have to help them. And then the people that God's going to bring in here. Y'all realize the corruptness that's in this world is affecting most of the young people in this world in such a great way that God has got to help them. Even greater than many of us is. They need more help than we've had. Most young people today are their mother and daddy's lives are have been in trouble. They've had corruption hit their lives, and those children were made subject to that vanity. Most children today are having a big problem. A lot of children don't even know their real daddy. They don't know their parents come from broken homes. There's a lot of children. You young people, if you could listen to me just a minute, if you can grasp anything I'm fixing to tell you, if you don't really have the relationship with your father and mother, a godly relationship, you are going to be hindered by that in life. And it's going to take God to help you. It'll take God to help you and to give you some measure of deliverance of that. But I want you to know this. There'll be a void in your life. And you'll seek to fill that void. And you can't fill it. Only God can fill it. It's like being born with a handicap. You can't fix it. You can't fix not having a relationship with your father or your mother. That you can't live your life and not know who my real daddy is the relationship that was broken that we never had. You'll always want to have a relationship like that. But you can never have it. Never. You have to learn how to accept that and let God fill that void with something righteous and an ability to be able to cope with life without that. God can fulfill that. God can fix that in your life. Let me tell you what will happen to you if you don't get that filled. You young girls are seek for some kind of fulfillment from some man, somewhere, looking for a father figure to fulfill that void. And you'll corrupt your life. You'll let men take advantage of you because you'll be looking for something that fills that void of looking for that father figure. And you'll never find it. I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking. There's such a girl right over there. Her mom and daddy divorced when she was 3 years old. She never had a relationship with her father. She had a good stepfather. Good stepfather. She loved him. Loved him to the day he died. But there was something in her about my real daddy. I never had a relationship with my real daddy. And she longed for that. I lived with that. I watched her long for that. God finally helped her. God finally helped her. We finally got a relationship with her real dad late in life. But she found out she couldn't fulfill. They couldn't go back and develop a relationship that wasn't there. She finally was able to accept the fact this was my lot in life. This was part of the vanity that I was made subject to. But there's a hope in God that will fix that and fulfill it and many times over help you to overcome it and fulfill every need and everything that drive in you is looking for in the natural, but there's something in the spiritual part of Jesus Christ that'll fill that up. He's the Father, hallelujah, of salvation. He'll fill every part. He'll help and cure every need that's there. God will help you, but every person almost coming in from out here in this world, even if they have a mother and father at home, many times a home's broke up so bad and there's so much confusion in home that mother, and we're living in a society that even natural mothers and fathers can't fulfill the need in children because this world is corrupt and society has got people so busy that they can't do the job that a natural mother and father was meant to do. And we can't get out of that altogether. But God can help us. Hallelujah. We'll let Him direct us. We'll let Him direct our steps. Some of these young girls and young boys are going to have some help. They'll start. You can watch them. They'll start right out just as soon as they start getting big enough to start noticing the other sex. They'll start reaching out to that other sex, looking for that daddy, looking for that need. It's that void that's in my life. They don't know I'm just fixing to invite new corruption into my life. It's going to bring more scars and heartache and take me down a road I don't want to go down. And if we don't help them and we don't talk to them and show them where they're headed, it'll happen to them. I've watched it over and over again. But God's called us to help and to be a mother assembly, mother our women to be mothers to daughters and men to be fathers to sons and help them and to help them grow up and see. You know, the world don't even see all that. They don't even see that. These psychiatrists can't even figure out something as simple as I'm talking about today. They got all kinds of goofy goofball stuff that they want to put people through, all this bunch of nonsense to try to help, dope them up and help them with every other kind of ideal in their mind. Yeah, they can't fix it. Only God can fix that. Only God is able. The hope that's in Jesus Christ, it'll fulfill every need. Hallelujah. I was thinking today, I thought, God, help us. Wouldn't you like for God to just give you a little deliverance push? Are you in a place in your life that you just need to get over the hump? You just feel like, I've been going around this same mountain. I can't seem to get past it. Wouldn't it be good if God to just give us a little deliverance push? just push you past getting delivered of not being able to get over that hump. You can't get over the hump if God don't touch your mind, if God don't touch your spirit, and He don't help you see. All of a sudden, something got a hold of me, and it gave me that push. And now it's more clear to me. I don't know why I couldn't do it before, but I can do it now. Hey, I believe if you'll seek God for that, He'll give it to you. God wants you to make the next rung on the ladder. And if it takes a little push, He just wants you to say, God, I know I need help. Give me the push I need. You know, touch my mind, my spirit. Let me get whatever it is, get past whatever it is that's hindering me. And let me make this next step in you. You order my steps. I'm by faith. I'm reaching out to make the next step. I'm trusting. I'm prayerfully, cautiously moving forward, but I'm not willing to sit here. I'm not willing to stay in this place that I'm in. Hallelujah. Praise God. That the end, to the end, that I may be established. Everybody say that. To the end, that I may be established. Hallelujah. Unblameable. Hallelujah. Oh God, get me a little more in the unblameable phase of this. Hallelujah to God. Praise His name. Well, I appreciate what the Lord's doing. Let me make a statement to you about the Montgomery family. The Montgomerys are moving to Cross Plains. And it's not because they're offended or there's any problem with the church or me and Sister Smith. We're in very good relationship with them right now. But it's personal. It's a personal problem. And I'm not happy about it. I don't feel good about it. But I learned a long time ago that when people get disoriented and they can't, you know, people give up on serving God and they just, you know, get in a place of limbo and they won't hear you. You can tell them the light's on, but there ain't nobody home. You know, I'm talking, but they ain't listening. They're not here. They don't want to hear. When that happens to a person, you just have to turn them over to God and let God work on it. But just pray for them. It's just, that's, you know, that's the best I can say to you. Just pray for them and love them. I love them and I care about them and I'm trusting the Lord. They're God's children. So don't gossip and murmur about it. Just let it go. Leave it in God's hands. It's probably the best thing for right now, maybe. You know, it may not be the best thing, but under the circumstances, it may, you know, I'm glad they're not just, you know, quitting church. And so Sister Martha's got a brother and a sister there, and I think she feels she needs their comfort. And so just pray for them and the girls, and let's just trust the Lord for their lives. And He's their children. God, He's able to finish what He started. You know, like I said, it takes something on our part, but God knows how to get our part out of us. That's the other good thing about God. He's faithful. He's a faithful Savior. He knows what it takes to save you. So, anyway, but I just didn't want you to think there was any hurt or offense or anything wrong. It's not anything in the church or even me. Thank the Lord. I've had plenty of people leave the church because of me before, but thank the Lord. We're hugging and loving one another but it's a personal thing that they're going through, and I can't seem to help them to try to stick it out. They could get through it. I'm certain of that. I know God would help them. But look, how many times in your life have you had a place that, you know, you may not, I mean, I can look back and tell you I did several things that I wasn't good and I wasn't prayerfully and cautiously moving forward. I just doing my own will. but I was God's child. And God, you know what the Bible said? The psalmist said, I found out if I make my bed in hell, God, you're there. I found out I can't turn around and go whichever way I want to go because there's roadblocks there. You've hindered me before and behind. And even if I go into the world and make my bed in hell, there you are, God. So, he's a wonderful Savior. And he knows how to save his children. And if we can be saved, he will save us. The bad thing is we don't want to go around the mountain any, we don't, not even one time more than we have to. We don't want to fail God any more than we have to. Because that just gives you more to overcome and more scars and troubles that are not necessary. So my prayer is, God, keep me under the shelter of your wings, dear Lord. Hide me there. God, let me find that hiding place and stay. And let your will work in me. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Is the dinner ready? Hallelujah. Boy, then. All right. Sister Linda said, yes, it's ready. Praise God. Let's all stand. Thank God for this. It's been a good service. I appreciate the good things, songs, and the Spirit of God that's been in here working with us. Let's pray. God bless the food. Oh God, the workers and the laborers, help them, oh God. Help our fellowship.